Let's read together Psalms 9 and 10. In these Psalms together, we have the establishment of the Lord's righteous throne forever and the elimination of all unrighteousness forever. Let's begin by reading the first five verses of Psalm 9. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Let's begin our study of these Psalms 9 and 10 with some background notes. Now we're covering Psalms 9 and 10 in one talk because they naturally go together. In fact, in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, Psalms 9 and 10 are together as just one psalm. This, of course, does not affect the concept and truth of inspiration, because the content is all the same, and the psalm numbers are not any more inspired than chapter numbers in the Bible. Now, another reason why Psalms 9 and 10 naturally go together is because they are both alphabetic acrostic psalms, and together they go from A to Z in the Hebrew alphabet every two verses from the beginning of Psalm 9 to the end of Psalm 10. However, the structure is not perfect because some of the Hebrew letters are skipped over for some reason at the beginning of Psalm 10. But it is obvious that the psalms go together. The term muthlaban in the title means death of the sun, and probably refers to the name of a tune, because we see that it was for the choir director. The fact that Psalm 10 does not have its own title is another feature which naturally ties Psalms 9 and 10 together. Let's move now to our first doctrinal point, which is taken from Psalm 9. So doctrinal point number one, the righteous throne of God will be established forever. The righteous throne of God will be established forever. Let's continue reading verses 6 through 10 of this psalm. O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. In verses 1 through 10 of this psalm, David thanks and praises the Lord with all his heart and says in verse 1 that he will tell of all God's wonders or marvelous works. Now, in the context, the marvelous works here that David goes on to tell about are the marvelous works of God's destroying the wicked and conquering the enemy and setting up his righteous throne. Look again there at the end of verse 4 down through verse 6. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever. And you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. Now, when will this be? Ultimately, it will be when the Lord returns to this earth in judgment and establishes his earthly kingdom. Verses 7 and 8, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. What a great time that will be. Verses 9 and 10 certainly can be applied now, but they look forward to the time of the future tribulation period, when the godly remnant of the last days will look to the Lord as their stronghold, their fortress, their refuge. This will be during the time that Jeremiah 30, verse 7, refers to as the time of Jacob's trouble. Verses 9 and 10 once again. The Lord also will be a refuge or stronghold for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Verses 11 and 12 emphasize that when the Lord returns, his righteous rule will be praised and his righteous standards will be upheld, and the unrighteous will know the vengeance of God. Verses 11 and 12. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Now verses 13 through 20 contain a prayer for present deliverance. That is, in verses 1 through 12, David was prophetically speaking of the future. But now he returns to the present in verses 13 through 20. Let's read these verses. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me, you who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made. In the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Haggaiyon, or meditation, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. In verses 15 and 16, David is probably remembering victories of God's people in the past where God let the enemy destroy themselves, such as when Gideon fought the Midianites. David is confident that the Lord can do it again. And so can we have this confidence. Haggaiyon, or meditation, is probably a musical indicator and may indicate a pause for meditation. As you can see, it's followed by Selah. The word hell in verse 17, it's the Hebrew word, Sheol, and means the grave or realm of the dead. But we know from the rest of Scripture that the unbelieving wicked will be in hell forever. So the translation of hell here is proper. Individuals and nations will be judged. The righteous throne of God will be established forever. Doctrinal point number two. The unrighteous triumphs of men will be eliminated forever. The unrighteous triumphs of men will be eliminated forever. Psalm 10. Now, as I read this psalm, notice that the question, why, comes up several times. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account. But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. A theodicy is a vindication of God in the face of the existence of evil. That's what David is looking for in this psalm. He wants to know why the Lord does not judge wickedness. Why does it seem that the Lord is so distant at times, especially when the righteous are in trouble? Verses 1 and 2. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. Why are the wicked able to boast and say, there is no God, and get away with it? Verses 3 and 4. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Why are the unrighteous permitted to go on in their pride and think that they will never be removed? Verses 5 and 6. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. Why are the wicked allowed to curse and practice deceit and plot all kinds of oppression and snares and operate as though God did not see or care? Verses 7 through 11. Now, did you ever have any of these questions? Did you ever feel that God wasn't doing anything about wickedness, or why is it taking him so long? Well, we probably all had these questions at one time or another. Well, the answer begins to come in verse 12, as David calls on the Lord to rise up and judge the wicked. Even though the unrighteous think that they are getting away with it, they are wrong. God does see their evil ways and does help the afflicted. Verse 14, but you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. And David is confident that God will ultimately break the arm or power of the evildoer. Verse 15, because the Lord is in sovereign control of all things. Verse 16, and David therefore knows that God sees and knows and cares and will ultimately remove all injustice and evil from this world. Verses 17 and 18, Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. The unrighteous triumphs of men will be eliminated forever. Practical application. Take heart, the days of the terrorists are numbered. Take heart, the days of the terrorists are numbered. You know, right now, we live in a day where terrorism is on the increase around the world. Now, we must do what we can to stop it. But ultimately, it's only the return of the Lord that will put an end to all terrorism. And praise the Lord will return and put an end to all terrorism. Look at the end of verse 18 of Psalm 10. The men of the earth will no longer oppress or terrify or cause terror on the earth. No longer. And the return of the Lord may be closer than we realize. So take heart. The days of the terrorists are numbered.